It's 2 o'clock on Sunday. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. It's time once again for Wordplay, and joining me today, one of my favorite people and poets in Asheville, Laura Hope Gill, who's former co-host of Wordplay.
Hello, Jeff.
Welcome,
good
Laura.
To see you.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Yeah.
Jeff's sort of cracking up here because he just laughing, cracking up because I just showed him a poem that I brought with me to read.
Yeah, we're gonna have to read that one. We may have to bleep it, but you know,
to bleep one thing.
Yes, maybe we could do an on-air alteration of it just for, you know, a one-time only.
We need one of those whistles like Harpo Marx had.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's great to be here. Great to be here during the fun drive.
Yeah, that's right. This is our spring fun drive, and it's been a great one so far, too. Yeah, it's really, really been going well. And so for you fans of Wordplay out there, and I know most of you actually listen to this by podcast, right? At least that's what the hits tell us and the stats and all that stuff. So you out there in radio land, remote radio land, can actually go make online. Just you're sitting at your computer listening to Wordplay. You might as well just click on the donate button at the WPVM.org website and make an online, secure online donation. Don't you think that'd be a good idea, Laura?
I think that would be absolutely delightful.
Yeah, yeah.
And just all that WPVM brings to the area, and it's just going to keep on getting better because we're going to talk today about WordFest, this poetry festival that is coming up.
That's right.
April 24th to the 27th.
That's going to be awesome.
And we are I don't think this is happening anywhere else in the country. If anybody else out in the country can contest that, I'd be happy to talk and work with you and learn. But this is a unity between a arts organization, a poetry nonprofit, and also a media nonprofit. And
that's right.
Wally Bowen and myself and the WordFest crew. I've just been having these amazing conversations about where does media connect with poetry.
You've already done a couple of events with Wally, right?
Yes.
Correct, yeah.
We gave a presentation at Malaprops that was very well attended. Thank you, everyone who came, where we explored this relationship. And we started by reading Galway Canals, When the Towers Fell, which shows, of course, a perspective of 9/11 that we all can relate to.
Right. You know, we actually featured that on Wordplay last week. We had a 2002 reading by Galway at Breadloaf, and he did The Bear, he did Under the Maud Moon, and he did Towers Fall. Beautiful, beautiful reading. And he had two other, I guess, I don't know whether they were students or what, but people who spoke German and French and so on, doing the
The
other language parts. So, yeah.
Brilliant. And he incorporated those multilingual parts to show that it was not just did not just involve America, but it was it acknowledged all the nationalities that worked in that building.
Powerful poem.
It is, it is, and it was perfect for a conversation about where journalism and poetry connect. They're not opposites of each other. They're not mirrors of each other. They are extensions of each other.
Right.
I remembered on September 11th, actually, Maya Angelou was on Nightline with Ted Koppel. And I haven't been able to get a transcript of this. It's one of those things that's rather disappeared from the landscape. Mysteriously.
And I bet it'll show up on YouTube.
somewhere. But Dr. Maya Angelou was on, and she was talking about the events of that day. And she said, well, this is just a time to heal. Everybody knows somebody who is in those towers, and it is a time to go inward and reach out to each other. It was the most beautiful words. It was exactly what I needed to hear after a day of seeing that imagery again and again. And then Ted Koppel actually interrupted her and said, well, thank you, Dr. Angelou. And now for a more realistic perspective. And immediately she was replaced by a guy in a uniform.
Oh, right, right.
And there it was, the polarization of, okay, what is real? And I don't think the inner life is any less real than the outer life, and I don't think anybody would argue. I don't think anybody would argue against me on that. And if you, and that's just what poetry offers to do, is show that these two are intertwined.
Yeah.
And cannot.
Ineluctably. Yeah, you can't chop
them apart. Yeah, no. Right. Unless you want to be
a zombie.
A little bit sick later on later in life.
Yeah. Right.
And even then, poetry will be there to help you.
Yeah. Or not even a little sick later in life, but really sick.
Right, exactly. Right. And so this is what we're doing. We're starting this poetry festival. This is our first year.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the first poetry festival to take place in Asheville. We have Bob Falls to thank for, and Ellen Wolf to thank for Asheville Poetry Festival back in the 90s.
Right.
And we're just bringing back festival. And there's so many things that Asheville offers, and yet we don't yet have our poetry festival going on.
I know.
We will.
Yeah, we've got a brew fest. We've got, the town has all manner of other
events. And we hope this just connects, fulfills the picture. We're very grateful to the North Carolina Humanities Council for its support.
Right.
And many local businesses, Malaprops, mm-hmm. Bookworks, the Black Mountain College Museum and Art mm-hmm. Center, and of course, Maine and WPVM. We would not be able to do any of this without Maine's fiscal agency. So all the more reason to just click that little button.
That's right, and make a donation. You're supporting poetry, you're supporting community-based radio, and you're supporting non-corporate media.
Absolutely.
All in one shot.
How about that?
Hey, you don't get many opportunities in life to do so much by clicking on a little donate button.
Wonderful. Yeah. And to... shall I read a poem to...
Hey, why not? What a concept.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. I'm going to read a poem. And this will be kind of like our little 30-minute telethon.
The telethon edition of wordplay.
Just how much fun poetry can be. I think underlying all of this is just our desire to just engage people in what a poetry reading can be. I think that poetry gets such a bad rap.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly high school English classes.
Yeah, if you haven't been to a poetry reading in the last 10 years, or 20 years even.
Right, it's completely changed.
It's really different. Quite.
The people have come down from the towers. And I know that in high school, our poetry classes often... Well, Billy Collins says they tie poems to a chair and beat it with a stick until it confesses.
right.
And that's how it happened.
That was then.
Right. And it's still happening today.
Oh, I know.
And and we're never gonna mention count the syllables. We're never gonna ask anybody to talk about the ABAB rhyme scheme. Mm-hmm. None of that. This is just people talking. And we've got Simon Ortiz, Galway Cannell, Catherine Stripling Byer, Patricia Smith, Coleman Barks, Mary Jo Moore, Richard Chess. It's an incredible
bunch of folks. Yourself, of course.
And yourself, too.
Well, yes.
Sebastian Matthews, Thomas Raincrow, Glennis Redmond. Yeah. I won't say every Asheville poet, because we have yet to involve everybody, and that's going to happen in the future.
Next year.
It's just going to keep on growing.
Right.
As you can tell, we're incredibly excited about this.
Yeah, we're keyed up. I've got to admit. Yes, we're keyed up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's a poem called Vivaldi. And I'll let you figure out where the beep would go, but I'm going to just change the word and say something.
All right.
Perhaps it's never easy being a man. And perhaps it's even harder being a man working in a convent when you yourself have not taken any vows and are raised in the white soil and gold radiance of the Tuscan sun. And soon, the limit for the virgin births a convent is allowed to report to the Vatican in a single year is surpassed again and again. And there are always more women there in their untouched beauty, eyes wide with the love that one is taught to possess for God, in place of a God who some say is only knowable through the frame of the body, the frame of nature, as when she is saying it, at first inward, the I love you, and then outward, the oh God, and the rhythm of the love one can have for all unseen things manages to take form as the body rocks in time to the music that seems to shine through the silence like something rising, taking form as it rises until it hovers over and around and through her. It is warm and integral, this movement back into the angels, the force desire lends, and the meaning it evokes from all things. It is, after all, the holy man's path to love all things. For him, it is the essential glory he puts into the Kyrie, the great arpeggio climbing, climbing of the come to me, eleison, the mass that rises to glory, the gloria tu solus sanctus. We, in the chapel choir at Rollins, weren't singing quite so well that day, and so Alex, the delightful gin-blossomed choir director, slammed his hands down upon the Steinway, crawled up on top of it, and shouted, he was making love to nuns, for Christ's sake. Sing it like you mean it. And last month, a study came out of the university saying that people who had many sex partners are warm. Their body temperatures just a little higher on the average. And the heat within them likes to move out into the world, comforting it like the sun.
How nice. You heard it here first. Jeffrey Keyser doing the wonderful Horsewoman from his CD Falling Up, which also furnishes, of course, our theme. Yeah, the old wordplay theme. That's a fine CD. If you don't know Jeffrey Keyser's work, check it out. Worth tracking down. So we're back in the studio. I'm Jeff Davis. You're listening to Wordplay on 103.5 FM in Asheville. And it's our special fundraiser edition of Wordplay. I'm joined today by Laura Hope Gill, former Wordplay co-host, now instigator and prime mover and whatever.
Mountain mover.
Yeah, really, really. Of the upcoming WordFest, which is a poetry festival that's going to happen here from April 24th through April 27th.
And you can visit our website at ashevillewordfest.org for the schedule. All events are free and open to the public,
right,
thanks to the North Carolina Humanities Council.
Yeah, indeed. And it's going to be a hoot.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've been working on something exciting.
Well, yeah. Tell us about it.
In the midst of raising a child, doing the festival, teaching full-time.
Yeah, it's not like your life is, you know, I was boring.
That's right. I was given a great gift, and I want to celebrate that. I haven't had much time for my own writing recently. And last weekend, something quite magical happened. I was, my daughter was at her grandmother's house.
And who's four now?
Who's four, yes. Yeah. And then she was at her father's house, so I found myself with a day to write.
Good grief.
And
I remember how precious those were when you have young kids.
And I'd like to share with our listeners, we have a wonderful photographer in town who does work with the Citizen Times, Asheville Citizen Times, John Fletcher. And I've admired his photography. He'd photographed some of the events over at Christ School when the boys go on their outdoor trips. And I've been moved by them in the past. And recently I went to his website, FletchPix.com.
FletchPix.com.
And was looking at them. And my gosh, it just completely moved me.
I don't know his work. I'm going to have to track it down.
Everybody needs to go there and look at these. Everybody who loves these mountains and this area and the rhododendrons and the craggies and everything. Because I have many times gone out into nature and wanted to write and taken a nap instead. I mean, I'm just bowled over by all the beauty. I can't handle it. But this, looking at these pictures, allowed me to write these. So I'm going to just read a series of them. These are without the photographs, but please, you can go to the website, FletchPix.com, and figure out which poems go with which picture. But I'll just read a few, because for me, they were just incredibly healing and engaging, and the way that this land heals us, which is basically what we're celebrating with WordFest. It's many legacies, Galway Canal, Black Mountain College, our Cherokee heritage, just so much that has happened.
A lot of different threads being woven together.
So much coming from these mountains, and you just drive along and you see that we're losing them. And so these are my hymns to the mountains, inspired by John Fletcher's photography.
Cool.
The Soul Tree. I have become the place I grew into and out of. Hear what my branches teach. Hear how the loosest limb whispers how I will be the first to feed, first fallen, and I will fall from the inside out and let what's in me out. I have become the dry thing. The mountain air strives to revive me. Anymore, I've no need for rain or sleep. These have fed me enough, or even light. What arises for all things, I now become. I've climbed my own branches out of myself.
Nice.
The partial view. It is as easy as to forget everything that matters as it is easy to lose a mountain to the sky. Things can vanish. It is a truth in life we hold to. It makes death more pleasing to the eye. When walking here, always remembering the depths and crests can make us wiser. The Blue Ridge is a teacher, even when we can't hear it. When I have vanished, what you may remember best is all you never knew, how I stood before you, and we were beautiful on our edge, growing upward as the mountain sloped out from under us. We begged the soil to keep its place. We knew our place, often violently, to keep from changing as deeply into the mountain-seeming stillness as we could. We pressed our roots. In strong winds, our branches, sometimes even touched. What keeps me from looking away? All my life, is the brilliance all things hold for each other, that lifts life out of life and raises it to itself sweetly, though painfully. I like to watch spring happen through a single flower's eye and know that kind attention that calls beautiful wings toward it and lifts its face to receive what needs to be taken. For more of this, I would sit still here like this forever and let life take me where I need to be without moving, only smiling. Beyond this, there is another. Full-blown blue counsels me. Make it 5 shades bluer in the distance, and I am yours, beyond any cloud cover. I never thought the mountains could echo each other like this against the silence of the sky. I was taught things grow small in the distance, but know now how the past expands into glowing, being nearer the sun that has faded, but still shines behind the dark.
Mm. This is really a different type of engagement.
It is.
In this work. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, very nice stuff. Yeah.
Would you like more?
Yeah, of course.
This is how it was writing them. It was like, I wrote 35 poems in one afternoon.
That's totally epic.
That's
that's wild.
What mountains do to me. Here we go. Open and close. It does not matter to me that you are slower or that you keep your words locked up inside the petals I flagrantly display. It isn't your fault I am so fast to eat the sun. I will wait fast, too, and keep my roots to myself. I know I should ready to close the moment that I know you are right to take things slow. We can then so elegantly argue, burgeon against suddenly emerging, how long we should hide our gold or shine it.
Nice. Why don't you read one more and then we'll do another break and,
Raise some money.
Raise some money. That's right.
If you like poetry, you like free radio.
Right.
Free media. Push that button. Push that button.
Yeah, I see Josh Jordan out there looking like he doesn't have anything to do. And Josh is actually here to answer phones. So for those of you who are listening live, you could simply call 258-0085 and make a donation in real time.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you if we see Josh answering the phone.
Yeah, right now he's eating a sandwich, so yeah.
Stop Josh from eating his lunch and call.
That's right. Interrupt Josh's lunch. Right.
Call him right now. He's chewing. And I'll do one more poem.
One more poem, Laura.
Cloud level. Unheld, I rise. Being held, I illuminate. My whisper is simple wind. My heart is often a cloud fastened to the pine's branches, wanting no more to drift and dissipate, undoing itself into rain. It lives to lift and begin. In my flight, the sun washes itself over the earth through me. Up here, I dream my way between the sharpness of life and its unutterable, ungathered softnesses.
Mm. Yeah. These are really, really... You did 35 of these in an afternoon?
Yes.
You're a mad woman. It's great.
I love these mountains.
Thank you.
little more Jeffrey Keyser there. Yeah, that is such a good CD.
And I had an educational experience while that music was playing. Me too. I'm surrounded. I'm sitting like probably in a musicophile's like dreamland next to a wall of CDs.
Yeah, thousands of CDs.
And my ignorance of the contemporary music scene is tragically, tragically bad. Because Jeff said, "Let me reach over there and grab something." So I did. I grab something. No, I do. And I looked for something that I knew, and I really don't. But poetry, I know.
Indeed. Indeed, you do.
Frightfully uncool in the music scene. I need to spend more time at WPVM. And
that's right.
Listeners, if you need, like myself, more education and what music is going on out there, then listen in. There's lots of wonderful programs here.
This is a full spectrum music station. I mean, you get everything from the most cutting edge to wonderful classical music that Josh Jordan does. I mean, this is really, you got it all here.
This is all you need to be
one
cool.
One package.
All happening here at WPVM. And I believe Josh is still eating his lunch, so call.
That's right. So it's another opportunity to call and interrupt Josh's lunch.
Just 258-0085.
That's right. Or you can go online if you're listening by podcast and make a secure online donation to WPVM. Community-based radio, and really, I mean, you can't get more community-based than this.
And thank you so much for listening today to Wordplay.
Indeed, indeed.
Troubling my peace. shaped like a lion. It has the head of a man with a gaze as blank and pitiless as the sun. And it's moving its slow thighs across the desert sands, through dark.
Joni Mitchell from her CD collection Travelogue, singing in her own beautiful voice, of course, Slouching Towards Bethlehem, which is based on a poem by W.B. Yeats, one of the great Irish poets.
Who was into
alchemy.
The dark arts.
The dark arts, that's right.
And beautiful Canadian voice. I might just
that's right,
that
that's
in
right,
there.
Right. As one Canadian complimenting another.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Above the parallel. And we'd like to thank people who called and donated.
Yeah, it's been really a wonderful day, we're told. We got here, of course, like 40 minutes ago. So,
right.
But we'd like to thank Helen and Zen Sutherland, Victoria Nichols, Ben Olberts, LaToya Carroll, Jeff and Blair Hoover, and Stephanie Bazuski, among others, who have called in and made donations. It's off to a really good start. Yeah.
And also we got a call from...
someone who didn't want to be thanked on air, saying that you were beautiful and mad.
Did he say he didn't want to be thanked on air?
He did.
Okay.
He did, yes.
Okay. Wonderful. So, well, thank you very much.
And he's certainly correct. Right.
Certainly.
In the best, mad. That's right. In the best sense of the word.
Absolutely. Well, following up Yeats, who is one of our great Irish mystical poets
right.
In the Western tradition, we can bridge this. We can make the connection.
Gads.
To WordFest.
Wow.
Yes, we can. Because the Western tradition of alchemy... about mm-hmm. which Josh Jordan will be speaking on April 24th, the day that WordFest begins.
Really?
Has its very, very close, beautiful cousin in the Sufi faith. And at WordFest, we will have not one, not two, but three translators of the Sufi tradition of poetry.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right, because we have Thomas Raincrow as well.
Thomas Raincrow and his work.
Right.
And his remarkable work. We also have Coleman Barks.
Right.
Who has basically blown the lid off poetry sales in the United States.
Yeah.
Normally, a good book of poetry is happy to sell 5,000 copies.
Oh, yeah. On a good... that's like, you know...
Yay. Yippoo.
That's
as
Billy Collins or someone.
Says.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And Coleman's right. sales are up around 750.
Wasn't that amazing? I was so surprised to hear that. I mean, I'm and delighted. I mean...
Making Rumi the number one selling poet.
In the English-speaking world.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing for a 14th century, you know, Sufi mystic.
Yes. And it was, I found out, I'm having dinner with Coleman a couple of weeks ago, that it was Robert Bly who handed Coleman
that's right.
the pages mm-hmm. and said, free him mm-hmm. from his scholarly cages.
Right.
And
right.
this is what Coleman has done. We are honored.
He accepted the commission.
So honored that he's coming to be a part of WordFest.
Yes.
And he'll be reading on that Saturday afternoon, mm-hmm. accompanied by Elliot Wadopian.
That's
and,
right.
At the Fine Arts Theater.
At the Fine Arts Theater. Now, that's an event that's away from UNCA. Most of the events are happening at UNCA in the Humanities Lecture Hall.
Yes, at 7 right. o'clock p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights.
Right.
But please check our website because we have these other events happening. Among them, a Green Door retrospective on Friday night where the performance scene of the early 90s will come back to life.
Sally.
With frightening power, we have attracted people that have...
we will have there be any the spattered blood or, I mean, you know, who knows?
The diaspora of the late night Fridays, where there was a poetry event happening constantly mm-hmm. here in Asheville.
Yeah.
And so we're having that at Malaprops at 10 o'clock. Poetics Lounge Saturday at 10 o'clock. Coleman Barks Saturday at 2 p.m. But please mm-hmm. check out our website. But we...
Yeah, we're going to have yet another translator.
Absolutely. And this is the... tremendous honor, and we're very grateful to North Carolina State Poet Laureate Catherine Stripling Byer for bringing to us Fatima Keshavarz.
Right.
And Fatima Keshavarz is a Rumi, foremost Rumi scholar, mm-hmm. and Persian mystic poetry scholar and translator.
Mm-hmm. And she actually works directly from the Farsi, does she not?
She does work directly from the Farsi.
Right.
And is our link to future events where we plan to do broadcasts between Iran and the United States at poetry readings, really exchanging these voices between the Middle East and the United States.
This is all new to me. I hadn't heard
with
that
poetry.
Part. Yeah, that's great.
Dream it all up.
In your ever fertile imagination.
And I call Kurt Mann and I say, hey, Kurt, can we do this? And Kurt says, yeah, we can do that. And Kurt was homecoming king at my high school when I was a kid. So he's the king. He can do anything. So anyway, but Fatima Keshavarz will be joining us. She'll be reading on the Saturday night with Galway Canal. Mm. And as with every other evening, the previous night, we have Simon Ortiz, Mary Jo Moore, and Kay Byer. Thursday night, Richard Chess and Patricia Smith. It's so hot.
These are, you know, interesting pairings too, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be just the sheer juxtaposition of...
Yes, and in designing it, what we've done is we wanted polydimensional. We didn't just want, you know, not enough just to have intercultural anymore. Mm-hmm. It isn't.
That's passé.
No.
That's 20th century.
It is. What we're going for is not just have one Native American poet, you know, because no one speaks for everyone.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
You know, identity comes first. So we're having Simon Ortiz and Mary Jo Moore, mm-hmm. and this break down every single barrier we possibly can while preserving that wonderful richness and integrity mm-hmm. that being human has. And we're also going not just for intercultural discussion and communication and representation, but also genre and poetic taste. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're not into... performance poetry. Come to the avant-garde performance of Leanne Brown and Kathy Wagner's mm-hmm. discussion at the Black Mountain College on
Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
And Leanne will be reading that night as well.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're not familiar with Galway Canal's work and are more inclined to Rumi's work, coming on Saturday night will change your life.
No doubt.
It's about just exposing ourselves to as many voices as we can. One thing that I've always told my students is you can't say you don't like poetry because it's like saying you don't like music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just so varied and so many voices.
Of course, Bill Knott would say that he doesn't like music, but you know.
There's a lot that Bill Knott says, and I love it. I just love it. Yeah. And it's okay to say anything, actually. I shouldn't say you can't say that.
But, you can say that.
You're free to say you don't like poetry, but don't say it till after you've come to WordFest.
But give WordFest a try before you say you
don't like poetry. After that, get in touch with me and I'll hook you up with a poet that you'll like. That's my promise as the executive director of WordFest. If you don't like someone that we're presenting, by gum, talk to me. I'll help you.
Laurel, find someone that meets your needs, whatever they are.
I'm on the path. If you like what you're listening to, this crazy, mad, beautiful talk, please call and make a donation to WPVM.
The number is
258-0085.
And Josh, once again, is looking bored. He's through his lunch, and so he's not munching a sandwich. But, you know, he looks like he needs to be kind of inspired by a phone call.
I think he's watching Blue's Clues with my daughter. So please save Josh Jordan from Blue's Clues. And nothing against Blue's Clues.
As good as it is.
Exactly. But this is an interesting combination for this Rumi phenomenon that mm-hmm. is happening. And looking to... This is tremendous that it's happening right now when the war in Iraq is occurring mm-hmm. and Americans are opening their eyes to this...
The whole Middle East.
Sufi tradition.
Yeah.
Aspect of Islam, which is our window that can expand into understanding... the non-mystical, mm-hmm. aspects of Islam.
Of course, right.
And there's so much healing to be done there. And
indeed, indeed.
It's as much to do. Much to do. And mm-hmm. I believe it falls into the province of the poets to help that healing
indeed.
Along.
Yeah.
And this is why we're offering here. The Poetry Festival. I remember it wasn't too long ago that arts and leisure was one category in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And as an artist, I never bought it. You know, yeah. I was slaving away, pouring my heart out. And leisure was definitely from the consumer's perspective. But I think we've become a more creative generation. And people are turning to the arts for
more than leisure. More than leisure.
Right. It isn't just for the leisure class.
Yes.
No. Mm-hmm. And we're certainly not the leisure class.
Yeah, right.
To help us become the leisure class, call 258-0085.
Make a donation. Yes, yeah. Or click on your donate button on the WPPM.org homepage.
There we go. We need to put those buttons all over town.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, every screen. Yes, right. That's right.
Wonderful.
We'll do it on every monitor in Asheville and the world.
Very good.
So yeah, do make it online if you like poetry, if you want to support wordplay, and keep it happening, keep WPVM going.
And as Joni Mitchell sang, quoting W.B. Yeats, mm-hmm. the alchemist who connects us to the Sufis, the best last all conviction.
While the worst are full of passionate intensity, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So
it sometimes seems that way, doesn't it?
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's read another poem. Read another poem.
That would be lovely. This one is called Fishing in Tasmania. This is from a series that Vivaldi is also a part of called Listening to Strangers, a series of poems of little things that people have said to me that have changed me in some way. The ferocity in me only hunger fills belong this day to Tasmania and its fishermen. Today can have its vast nets to catch me in as I trace my path through my mind's sea. I've always been propelled by memory, so again I'll return to my beach and green tent, mortar myself to the earth with deep sleep and 7 days of solitude. I wanted to last longer than I had food to sustain me. And that's the moment the fishermen came. I could smell their whiskey through my dreams and let them break my quiet like the lobsters they cracked open against rocks and shared with me like a decadent sea-bound priest at a communion. I wanted to be a man who, when he retires, does the same work he always did, the sea's work, the work of bringing what's below above to shore and onto the tables of families and loners alike. I wanted to be the bringer up of fish. So when they told me I could eat as much of their lobster and drink as much of their whiskey as I wanted as long as I woke up with them before dawn and joined them in the catch, I sucked the sweet meat out of a claw tip and said, sure. Have you seen the cliffs that frame the land's last glance before the Antarctic expanse between the worlds? You know, it looks like someone's been painting there again, with their thoughts dyeing the sea walls brown and red. They may have been painting a woman, or the way it feels to be a woman who's reached the end of her own world. How it feels to want to deliver herself into the hands of strangers in strange boats on even stranger waters, just to feel the urgency of a surrender, to feel the edge merge what stretches out back to touch it, just to know that she is safe. And the fishermen were good men. All they cared about was fish and whether or not she could catch one. They tied her hook, wormed it, let it drop. Each of them pulled up a flathead. Dog sharks only swam to hers. And these the men seized and dehooked. And the woman thought for a moment that the nice men would let the small beast go. But instead, one severed its tail. Another gouged its eyes. They devour the catch in the nets, they explained from that hemisphere of unspoken damage. It's our way of getting back at them. And like this, they set it back in the water, where it would now move, blindly, paralyzed in the vastness. and I'm home now. All of something far behind me that still moves in the dark, unnavigably far below.
Yeah, I've always liked that one. Very nice. Very nice.
My Tasmanian fisherman.
Yeah. Well, you there listening on at your computer, downloading the podcast, don't forget, before you leave the WPVM.org website, just click on that donate button. Help keep Wordplay going, WPVM going, real community-based radio, bringing you stuff you're not going to hear anywhere else. Anywhere else on your dial, or at your computer, for that matter. So, you know, I should mention, too, that we've actually made progress towards getting a permanent archive for WPVM Wordplay files. One of our programs has now been picked up by Penn Sound, and they're interested in several of our others, which is one of the great online resources. And we're also working with iBiblio in Chapel Hill to create a permanent archive for all of Wordplay shows. So soon there'll be a further announcement, but we'll get through WordFest first. But there's going to be some interesting stuff going on. So.
This is all quite amazing.
It is. It's pretty strange. It's bizarre. Right.
Well, Asheville has this amazing legacy of writers. We just have, you know, going all the way back to Anonymous and the ballads, but continuing still today. Mm-hmm. And it just seems that there's this wonderful energy forming around all the work that we've done, and it's bringing it into... I don't know, what do we say? It's amping it up. It's kind of not terminal velocity, but is that it? When something's about to change shape, like it just gathers enough mass, critical mass.
Critical mass.
Critical
mass,
terminal velocity, something like that.
Something
physics,
like that. Right, right.
9.8 grams per second squared, something like that. And it seems that we're hitting that. And at WordFest, we're getting calls from Oklahoma, Indiana. People love Asheville, and we have so much to offer here, and that Wordplay you've been commandeering the voices onto digital media, and with Sebastian and myself.
This is after our third season, which is really amazing.
It's tremendous. Yeah. It's tremendous, and we live in such a celebrity-obsessed culture that we forget that right here. Yeah. In our very own midst.
Close to home.
History is happening. And that we're your poets and your writers, and we're here. And there's always something going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very lively community.
It is. And has gotten more so.
I'm so blessed. Yeah. We're so blessed to have it.
Yeah. So help keep it happening. You, there at your computer, hitting the podcast button. One more time. Don't forget to hit the donate button before you leave the WPVM.org website.
Absolutely.
Jeffrey Keyser on the way out. Thanks so much for listening today. This has been Wordplay.